Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rise of the Podcast. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Kara.
And I'm Brownie.
Yeah, and you're still social distancing, so that's good.
This is about year 30 of social distancing.
Right?
It feels like it, that's for sure. Absolutely. So we had a bit of a fun week, right? May 4th has come and gone, and that was not fun.
Interesting.
It was not fun.
Tell us about your experience, Kara.
Well, we heard this story already.
Oh, well, we did. Facebook they did, technically.
Oh, well, I suppose. I did post that video on YouTube, too. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah, that was our Thursday video.
Oh, that was a live stream. Yeah. That's the live stream, right. Well, anyways, so okay.
The short version of the story, anyway.
Short version is Shop Disney sucks.
Dang, just spilling the tea. Well, since the live stream had come out, though, we made a parody. We had a funny sketch we did. Mm-hmm. And between Chris and I, all three of us, really, we kind of like wrote it. And we, Kara and I filmed it on Tuesday and sent over the finished product to Chris. And he put his touches on it. And we put it out to the world Wednesday morning. And wow. What happened, Chris?
Well, so it's by far our most viewed thing that we've made by several orders of magnitude.
Heck yeah.
Knocks the I'm No Jedi parody out of the water, any Lego build we've ever done, so...
Yep.
But when it was fun, it's exciting.
When I last checked, so it's a Facebook exclusive, so if you want to see it, you have to go to facebook.com/riseofthepodcast. And it's just a sketch, basically... honestly, just like a real life recreation of what happened when people tried to check out with their exclusive Star Wars Day merch on Shop Disney. But it's got like, I don't know, like a gajillion people reached, and it's like 30,000 views and lots and lots and lots and lots of people saying too true with sad face emojis and stuff.
Yeah, the comments are what are really fun. Like they've really like people commenting. You know, somebody's like, "This is literally me," and nailed
that,
it.
That exact comment was probably about 30 people.
Yeah. I know. That was funny. And so, like from the shooting side of things, it was like, you know, because Chris didn't come over. You know, you talked me through the process, and I just am talking about this stuff because I think it's interesting. But we did. That's one camera angle. And,
well, it's not a one camera angle. It's a one camera setup.
Yep. Multiple times, which was crazy to me because it's like I've never really done that before. So Kara and I practiced, you know, and ran through the script. And it is intimidating to forget your lines in front of Kara. She is a professional.
Whatever. I don't think my acting was that good in there. So there's that.
Yeah, right. Kara came and we read through it like what? How many times would you say, Kara?
A dozen times, I'd say.
Yeah, and I mean, I definitely, she would look at me and she'd say refresh, and I would just stare at her. She's like, you're supposed to do a shrug and say it's not in stock.
He's just sitting there like, Kara, aren't you going to say your next line? And I'm like, no, you've got the next line.
See, that's why you need to have a director.
Right.
Yep.
Well, you guys did a really good job, honestly, for people that aren't like all day, every day video producers.
It was fun.
For those people wondering that have seen the thing, literally all I did was convert it into the square format for Facebook and do the subtitles. So literally everything else was Jeremy. I did the audio.
And your fun little effect. Yeah. And your fun little...
Oh, yeah, the reloading graphic that was like 3 seconds of work of my life. I literally did 20 minutes worth of work. It took me longer to export the thing once than it did for me to do anything else to it.
Which is the way it should be.
You guys just do that for the rest of this and we're all good to go for the rest of our lives. Good job, guys. We did it. Yay.
So, yeah, it's been really, really fun. I'm so embarrassed. I feel compliments to the Shep. If you have, what's the?
Did you say Shep?
Proper way to
with
say.
A P?
I did. I was gonna. All right, let me just tell you what just happened there. All right, I had to burp. So the proper way to say fart is flatulence. So is there a proper way to say burp?
I think it's burp.
Yeah.
That's the nicest way to say it.
Yeah. Like
so vulgar.
I don't think so. So how about Belch? I think even though Belch is more,
Belch is
more like quote unquote like upscale. It sounds more aggressive too. Like a Belch is
totally
a professional burp. It's like the burp that you like. Wow, I'm glad that's not sealed in a container and used against me in a court of law.
Oh man, who wants to deal with that? So yeah, and then I mean, people know that we're okay. So this is now a big tangent. We're just whoop steer the ship. My morning, Chris and Kara. So yeah, my one of my coworkers was like, "Hey, I really want to go out and go fishing on opener." And so we work together, right? I mean, we spend all day together. And so I was like, "All right." So I don't see a problem with being on a boat together. So I went out with him on the St. Louis River for the first time ever and went walleye fishing, and we got two walleyes. So that was pretty fun.
When you say we, do you mean he got two, or you got one and he got one?
He got two. but I was there.
Jeremy caught them on camera.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Did you have the drone out with you?
I did as well, yep.
Did you launch it from the boat?
I did, and it's scary AF.
Well, can't you just like hold it in your hand and take off?
I didn't the first time, and then the second time I tried, I did take off from your hand, which is fine. But here's the thing you don't realize. The drone stays stationary in an X, Y, and Z position when you bring it in. Mm-hmm. The boat floating on the water does not. So when you go to bring it in, the second you get it lined up to bring it down, you're already not where you were when you lined it up. And so, yeah, bringing it down is really scary when you're on a boat.
Well, to quote Doc Brown, you're just not thinking fourth dimensionally.
Right. Well, that's basically what I had to do is I had to park it in front of the boat and then let the drone, like bring it down and then just assume that I would be underneath it by the time it came down. So that was pretty scary.
Would it have been easier if you could just hit kill motors and let it plummet to you?
Totally. Well, it would have, because you have to override, in order to get it to land, you have to override the, so you bring it down and then it stops when it senses an obstacle. And then you have to override that by just holding down still. And then it's like one, two, and then it initiates landing sequence. So it's like you, it's already behind, like going behind you. And then, you know, you don't want to get your fingers nipped and crash the drone. So.
Does it try and pull away from you as you're drifting forward now that you're holding it?
So it's just that initial, like not wanting to come down. And then once you override that sucker is coming down, whether you're ready to catch it or not.
Oh no, but I would say, so like once you grab it in your hands, cause you still have to hold down for a couple seconds for it to finish fully landing. Is it trying to compensate for the GPS drift because you're moving or?
Nope. It, once it like fell into my hand, then it's like a damsel in distress. It's just going to pass. Like, if you don't catch it, it's going to faint.
Fair. I'm just curious. Yeah, one of the things I've always wanted to do was launch it and land it from a boat. So do you think, like, a pontoon would be easier?
Well, here's the funny thing. So Kyle has a trolling motor. And after we were done taking on and landing, he goes, oh, I have an anchor mode where the he's really smart. So the trolling motor will counteract the current and keep you perfectly still.
Oh, yeah. So that's the technology right there.
So I was like, Kyle, why did you say that? I'm like struggling with the drone, trying to get it in. And then it's like, Kyle, why didn't you just tell me you could anchor the boat? You see that I'm trying to bring it in and it's flying past me and being
so,
all crazy.
So you're holding the sticks and catching it at the same time?
Yep.
So that's like a level of like juggling almost, because like you've got whatever $1,500 drone, your cell phone attached into a remote that's like a sum total of like another $15,000
whole.
Yeah, and it's like you've got one hand on both of these things, and you need to have, you know, pretty decent precision to be able to pull that off. I'm impressed.
Yeah, no, it was interesting, and it was the same thing on takeoff. I took off from the front of his boat. And the first time, and there is a GoPro mount, and he's like, oh, should we move that? And I was like, it'll be fine. Well, when that thing took off, of course, the boat's going forward, and then the drone stays there. And so, I mean, it got way too comfortably close to the GoPro mount the first time. So that's why I launched it from the air the second time. I have no qualms about launching it from my hands anymore. That's easy enough, because it's fine.
So do you have
access? That's easy enough, guys. So
well, no, because it's going away from it's going away from you. It's not coming.
Yeah, when
you
let go, you're it's drifting behind you then.
Yeah, yep. And so that part's not nearly as scary, but bringing it in is like, whew.
Did you try doing any like follow shots, like where you locked it onto the boat and buzzed around, or?
Dude, we did a 35 mile an hour follow shot, and it's gorgeous.
All right, so I don't know if I necessarily want to say this for the public to hear, but on Tower Avenue at night, there's like no traffic, there's no crossing power lines. I think it'd be cool to get a follow shot going down.
That would be
Tower Avenue at night.
That would be. That'd be sick.
And like, so technically, as long as we're not doing anything commercial with it, if we put it up like unmonetized or something,
right?
And there's no other vehicles that it operates over. You can operate over a street. You can operate at night recreationally,
right?
As long as your operator and your visual observer can move, your operator, unless you're operating commercially, has to be outside of a vehicle,
right?
But so as long as you have a couple of visual observers set up to catch line of sight on the drone and a way to communicate, there's actually nothing that would really prevent us from doing that. Maybe you want to do that tonight?
I would be willing to. Yeah, I would be willing to. I only used like a battery and just a nick of an extra one. So they're sitting on the charge right now.
Nice.
They're going to be done soon. And then I have one completely utter full one. And so that'll be good to go. So it'll be fun to mess around with a little bit after this. But it was the polarizing filter. I guess we'd have to compare it. I probably didn't have the polarizer set right, but the NDs come in clutch. There's no doubt about it. It's beautiful.
Were you able to shoot at 2.8 then? Or?
I was, yep. Nice. And 100 ISO with the... Because I don't know what the numbers mean, but there's a 32 and a 64 ND. And at the 32, at 2.8, 400 still had blown out, but 200 was, it looked a little underexposed, but I was shooting in log, so.
Well, so if I recall correctly, the number is what you, there's some math involved. The ND number is like what you multiply, like your, or you divide that by your shutter speed to figure out how many stops of... Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is. So that's like, so an ND 400 would be like 8 stops.
Got it.
Somebody will correct me if I'm wrong, but I have an ND 2 to 800 variable. Oof,
that's just nice. So that was the only key that I was missing. What millimeter size is that? Is it 82 or 77?
I actually have one for 58, 72, and 82.
I really needed an ND on the EOSR. That was the missing piece of the puzzle today.
I 100% have my 135 millimeter lens is the same filter thread.
So, yeah, maybe we'll put a link retroactively or something and put up some fun video footage when we end up cutting together. But
depending on where we go to do, if we do some drone stuff today, I kind of want to do this is an idea that you had. I'm just stealing it. Is setting up a time lapse at the same time of us like doing stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. Because then you can combine it and like you're out there flying for half an hour. Why not do a time lapse of the nature or something too? You know.
And you've done a time lapse off of your drone before too, right?
I have. Yep, I totally have.
So what might be kind of cool is if we started the drone like just slightly offset, like above the camera, above like the Sony or something. Oh.
I see.
And then you start doing the time lapse, or you start the time, like, so let's say we let the time, we just fly the drone around for like a half hour or something. We've got the time lapse rocking, and then we just position it above, and then we transition between the two. So it's like you have like the static thing that all of a sudden goes and takes off.
Yep. Yep. You do like one of those vertical transitions and then pop up. Like it's like you're physically leaving the ground camera angle and hopping up to the drone, right? And then like go back down. Is that what you're
exactly.
Thinking? Oof, that looks going to look cool.
So,
we got a lot of a good conversation.
Poor Kara.
Sorry.
Kara, tell everyone what you got.
What? Oh, I got my Artisol D16 Pro drawing tablet.
Ooh.
Yeah. So now it's basically a whole thing of me relearning Photoshop. Like, Jeremy and I took a digital art class together many moons ago.
I recall
we learned it on Photoshop.
You showed,
and now
I think in the Poe Dameron X-Wing Lego time lapse, you showed me some of the stuff that you did, and it's like you guys did some like almost photorealistic stuff.
Yeah,
Kara did a really good job.
My professor told me that the painting I did of the Madonna, I think it was. She said it was more visually appealing than the actual picture she posted.
Oh, dang.
That's right.
Kara, if there was microphones in Mic Drop or in Minecraft, Kara would drop it.
That's right, I would.
That's awesome. So how are you liking the drawing interface so far?
I really like it. Like, the pen draws exactly where you want it to. Like, I know with my iPad, sometimes I'll be drawing, and where I put down the pen isn't necessarily where it starts drawing. It's like there's a fraction of a second before it actually starts drawing.
A little bit of latency.
Yep. So with this, it's like immediate. It's so nice.
That's dope.
Yeah.
So is this one that has a monitor built into it so you can look at what you're drawing to, or is it just like a blank interface?
It's got the monitor on it, so I can actually see what I'm drawing.
That's cool.
It's so basically a second screen.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, it's a 1080p basically monitor you draw on.
Mm-hmm. So you were going to say it's a 19-inch monitor is what you're saying?
Well, it's
15.6 inches.
Okay, that's still pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's super cool. And so the reason why we got that is it was a compromise because Kara really wanted a Surface Studio, which is the one you can just draw right on the screen directly.
Yeah.
But that's really frustrating. We're putting just every company on blast today. It's really frustrating because it's like you're paying Microsoft a lot for minimum hardware specs for that thing, you know, like for what you can do
and
on
like
your
no
own,
upgradability.
So. Or no upgradability, exactly. Some Macs have more customizable features than that. Thing has.
Oh,
so.
Man, Mac and Windows on blast in the same sentence.
Well, I like this too. So you know how the studio's got the dial where you can twist it and like pull up different color charts and stuff like that? This basically has it built into the tablet itself. So
that's
like there's
cool.
A little dial on it. You click on it. It'll open up a menu. And then you can spin the dial, change the size of your brush, the opacity, the flow of the ink and everything. And it's super nice.
I should look it up. There's a dial system. I can't remember what it's called. It's not terribly expensive. Like, I guess, depending on how you judge it. It's, I think, like $60 or $70 per like dial. You can get dials or sliders. And you can use those. And they magnet together. So you can build a pad as big as you want with as many dials or sliders as you want. And you can macro those functions onto that. So because you're on a PC platform, you can actually build that control surface if you wanted to out of that. I just need to look it up again to see what it is. Because I was going to use it for doing my like color grading and stuff. Because you can just have it automatically be like, this is my white balance slider. This is my contrast slider. This is my blah, 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 blah. You know, so.
That's cool. Super cool, Chris.
I'll have to look that up. I don't recall exactly what it's called. Then there's a couple of different companies that make something similar to that too, but the one that I was looking at is like pretty well regarded.
Plus you can probably have it like scrub footage and stuff too, I'm assuming, right?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah. That's cool.
You can macro any feature you want inside of your program into the dials. It just treats it as like a special macro keyboard essentially.
That's super cool. But yeah, so then we're like excited, you know, just as another thing, you know, again, this is kind of, you know, a catch-all for whatever we want to talk about.
This,
and do,
yeah,
but basically
the week in review.
This time it is anyways, like, excuse me, never allow me to drink a Bing ever again.
What's a, hold on. What's a Bing?
So I think, okay, said coworker Kyle, and I'll do a shout out to my other coworker, Andy. We went to Super One, which is a local food chain or local grocery store chain, and we got these things called they're Petey's Bing, and Bing as in Bing Cherry.
Okay.
So it's just a cherry drink. Okay.
Energy drink.
They used to sell one can at a time in the grocery store. Then they went to two, and then now they're three wide, and now Petey has three different flavors. But I think we single-handedly keep him in business. So it's kind of like our favorite drink. When I've been on deployments in the past overseas, Andy's mom actually would send us cases and cases of Bing in the mail, so we would have like a little taste at home. So
that's awesome.
It's kind of a gee whiz fun thing. So I was grocery shopping for Kara before the podcast, and they were on sale. So I was like, oh, I'm going to get one for myself, but I'm so embarrassed by them.
Now he's Belchy McBelch face.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a funny... Okay, so words are hard. My other coworker, Dave, he was, you know, he likes the Words Are Hard podcast, you know, that one.
Yeah.
And so he was trying to come up... They're all mad about the way that I say the furry animal that, like, looks like a dog that's bigger, you know. They all get mad about the way
a
I say...
Wolf?
Dingo?
A wolf.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, so they're like, wolf. Oh, it's... Yeah, I say, well, it's the L is there. It's just extremely, it goes by fast. That's all. It's a woof.
No, you are saying woof, like W-O-O-F. You
no,
are not
it's
saying
there. Woof.
What it sounds like to me is like you're saying W-U-F.
Yeah, woof. Yeah, woof. anyways.
That's the sound a dog makes, Jeremy.
Right, here. So actually, so Jeremy, what's the body of water that is south of Texas and is connected to the Caribbean Sea?
The Gulf of Mexico?
Okay. So just replace the G with a W.
The Wolf of Mexico?
That's a little bit different, but the way that you make your L for Gulf should be the same for Wolf.
So this is what's funny. That's exactly what Dave tried to do. He was trying to come up with other words to try to get me to say Wolf correctly. And so I was telling a different story, not even 5 minutes later, and then they totally busted my chops. So you know the other word I say wrong, apparently?
Jeans.
Now I'm going to probably say it right, because I'm trying to think of too hard about saying it wrong. But I say... Oh, well, it did size. I say Ramon. I say Ramon. That's what I say. So I was telling a story, Ramon. And I was like, oh, I'll just, if I ever go broke, I'll just live off Ramon. And they both look at me and they're like, wait, what?
Is that intentional
Ramon.
Mispronunciation? Like when
no,
you say barbecue?
No, it's not. It's just, I guess, I forget. It's what? Ramon? Ramen?
Ramen.
Why? Who would say that word ramen? That doesn't even make any sense.
So it's R-A-M-E-N, right? So you think
right,
the Egyptian god of the sun and the type of bathroom that you go into, ramen.
Oh, whoa, Chris. This is a child's podcast.
I'm just telling you, those are
raw
the two.
Man.
Those are the, like, if you no, not raw man, men. It's R A M E N. So there's the Egyptian sun god, and then men, raw men,
raw men, raw men. Oof, that's a weird word. Anyway, we looked it up, and the French say it like me. That's about it. They're the only.
Well, that's not something you want to be compared to, Jeremy.
So anyway, so before the ramen and before the belching, I was just gonna say as we have some more sketches coming, so that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. Do some more sketches. I'm really, really miss doing Lego builds, and I've got Lego sitting here to build. I want to give another shout out to BRD11 for making me laugh with his comment of building Legos and having Kara and I yell at him. And I was like, actually, it's more like Kara and Chris yelling at you and you empathizing with me. So I know how you feel, BRD11. If you want, Kara can just call you up and yell at you regardless.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe you just did that. Do I need to buy you Duplos?
You know what we should do? We should make an exasperated Kara soundboard, and you can download
yes.
it. If you make a mistake, you just hit it, and it randomly plays one of the things that Kara has said to Jeremy.
That's really, really funny.
That would be very funny.
So just sort of doing like the brief rundown of this week. So Monday was Star Wars Day. We posted all the memes. Tons and tons of people reacted. Our Star Wars every day for that day was explaining Star Wars Day and sort of like how it came to be, which was interesting.
I love that.
And then we did a live stream on Facebook, which people may have seen. We reposted on here on Thursday, and it was super fun. We had a bunch of people interacting with us, asking us questions and stuff. And I definitely think is something that we should get into our rotation. I know that we've been threatening on here to go live a bunch, and we ended up going live on Facebook first.
I was reading a thing too. We can go live in both places, apparently. Do you know how to do that yet?
I do not, because on OBS you can only set up one thing at a time, but I'm wondering if you can run multiple instances of OBS simultaneously, maybe? I'd have to look into that.
We had a huge shout out from Gabriel, and he comments on a lot of our stuff now, and he was really interactive with us on the podcast, and so his his Facebook page went live, and so I watched that, and they were streaming in multiple places in the same time, and they were talking about it, but then a lot of it was in Spanish, so I was completely lost, but I was there and asking questions and saying hi and stuff, and nice. That was fun. It was cool to see. So I love like just getting to know some of the people, like getting to see and know some of the fans. The live video was one of the most fun things that we've done.
Yeah, no, that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that a lot.
It was really, really good. And like Justin from Cinephile Studios and Keith and well, Nick, you're, you know, just Mike and even everybody. They're all, this was really fun. Mm-hmm. The interaction was really cool.
I wonder, so, and it seems a little bit like our Facebook and our YouTube audiences have like no overlap whatsoever.
I agree. Oh, no, yeah, I think totally that's a thing.
So, and it's like, so totally it might be kind of pointless asking it on here, but maybe at some point we'd be like, hey, when would be a time that people want to see us go live? Because like once right. our schedule gets back to normal, it's normally like late morning Saturdays that we record the podcast, not to break the illusion that we're not doing this 5 seconds before it uploads on Monday. Ooh, but right. we need time to edit and to not be awake that early on a Monday.
Oh yeah.
But one of the things that we'd kicked around for a while is doing the podcast as a live stream for people that want to do like a dollar a month or something on Patreon or something, and then do the edited version as normal on Mondays for everybody else for free.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if there's a time that's better for people or something, because like the point of going live isn't just to like entice people to give you money or something, it's to have that interaction with people, and if nobody's available to interact with you, it defeats the whole point.
Right.
So so anybody that's watching, if there's so we prefer to still record on Saturdays, that gives me enough time to edit the podcast, but
we will make it work for you though.
Yeah, so yeah, it's like if there's a consensus time that it's like if it's 2 o'clock on a Saturday instead of 11 a.m. or something like that, whatever, like, and these are all central time. But that'd be something kind of interesting. And I'm going to float this out there. I know that I brought this up with Jeremy before, and I'm pretty sure people have seen us talk about this. For Christmas, I got you guys Cards Against Star Wars.
Yeah. Yes.
And I thought it'd be fun to do a live version of us playing that, and then the whoever's tuned in ends up judging the rounds.
Oh, that'd be cool.
So we just turn over a white card, and then like, so I just need to sort of figure out how to build a multi, like we would need to get a little bit more infrastructure, but like run everything through the Shogun and stuff and figure out how to build it so it's like people can see the question card and the answer cards and stuff, and then they can vote or whatever and sort of see what's going on. But I think that'd be dope. Yeah. I think that'd be really fun.
I think it would be really fun. I want to win, so everybody vote for me.
Jeremy.
So the interesting part about that is like we like people that like our page have at least one thing in common with us. They like Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, normally when you're playing games like this, you're playing the sense of humor of the person who is judging you.
Right.
And in this it's like what's the best strategy? Do you just try and do something that makes you laugh and hope that you have a similar sense of humor to the bulk of the audience?
That's a good point. Yeah.
You know,
That's a really good point.
It could work poorly. Maybe there's not enough people that are watching or whatever, but like, I definitely want to give that a shot coming up in the near future.
No, for sure. That'd be awesome.
I agree.
But anyway, so Monday we went live. Tuesday, we had some
shot video. Yep.
Yeah. So which we were going to do on Monday, but the live thing went twice as long as we thought going to go. So, and then, yeah, so Tuesday you guys shot and edited the video, which went live on Wednesday. Tuesday also, Revenge of the Fifth, some pretty good stuff came out of that. Like, the Star Wars Day and Cinco de Mayo is like our Black Friday. Because that's like when everybody's in the mood for Star Wars.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, which I think in no small part accounted for some of the success that we had.
Absolutely, right.
Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, so then the sketch did really well. And then, which we'll put a link in the description if you guys haven't seen it. It's 2 minutes long.
Check it out.
Funny.
It's funny.
You get to see Jeremy and Kara act like goofballs.
Yep.
That's right.
And then I'm trying to think of what we, like, you know, Thursday and Friday were kind of a blur for me because of work. I don't recall exactly, but, like, you know, continued momentum from the stuff from earlier in the week. Lots of new people. But, oh, we, on Star Wars Day, we asked people about their first Star Wars experiences, and that was freaking awesome. That totally got lost in my mind in the shuffle of everything else that was happening, but that did really well, too.
It was really a blast to read all of the, and talk about people introduced to Star Wars via VHS. Very cool.
Yeah, like, and we had the entire gamut. We had people whose first film was in theaters in 77, and we had people whose first experience with Star Wars was playing, like, you know, Lego Star Wars, the complete edition prior to the sequel trilogy. Like, people's entry points are completely different. Lots of moms and dads getting shouted out and uncles and stuff for introducing people to Star Wars as a way to keep them quiet.
Right.
You know, so it's just like, it's really cool to see how people really first got their first taste of Star Wars. Nope.
Totally cool.
Yeah, and then, then the week wound down and now we're on Saturday.
I woke up at 5 in the morning to go fishing. Or film fishing, at least. But it was fun. It was a really cool day.
So you woke up
like... He woke me up when he left.
You woke up like 2 hours after I went to bed.
What?
Well, because like Bill and I were talking because we had such a good week and there's so many new people. It's like, oh, we should try and figure out some stuff to do in terms of... doing cross posts of our video-based Star Wars Everydays and stuff, which... Mm-hmm. Our performing is basically exactly the same, unfortunately, but and a couple other things, and then Bill's like, "Oh, because the parody that we did of Bad Guy we recorded it in July and it came out in August, and it's like, oh, maybe we should post it on here and see if we can ride any momentum off of that. But then we had also discussed doing a recut version of it, utilizing
because Kara's dancing is not.
I am forward sending it as is, but Kara wants the recut.
Well, literally everybody except for Kara thinks that it's good as is. I haven't watched it since maybe September of last year.
If you guys want to post it as is, go for it. I just know, like, we've gotten some comments like, oh, that dancing.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, ooh. So I think in general, the Facebook audience has been a lot more positive than the random YouTubers.
I mean, that's true.
And not YouTubers, but...
Post it, it's fine.
But if Jeremy wants, because you guys are more familiar with the...
Clone Wars, yeah.
With the Clone Wars. If you wanted to go through and start pulling stuff, maybe that's something we do over the course of the next week is do... A Clone Wars edit.
Yep.
I guess Clone Wars and Rebels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Rebels. Oh, man.
Yep, it wouldn't just be Clone Wars. You can post it as is. I know it'd be a lot of work having to go through all that and pick out.
Oh, well,
yeah,
I can take a look at it.
We talked about doing it anyway. We can make it.
Right. We can make it and then bounce the two against each other.
True.
So, yeah. Like,
and then we put it up to a vote. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no, I'm now sort of interested to see because, like, I talked to Jeremy about this. To this day, on a weekly basis, I'm No Jedi is our highest performing video. Every freaking week, it gets the most views.
That's and it's so
like,
funny.
It's like, I'm happy that it's still, like, it's 8 months later or whatever, and it's still performing decently. But at the same time, I was like, I would like it if something else did okay.
Right. Well, here's the thing, too. So, just recently, I completely rewatched both the Star Destroyer build and the Mustafar build. And I will tell you what, that both of those videos are really, they're good. They're fun. There's a lot of funny moments. I forgot, like, Vader's castle blew up in my hands twice. I mean, the Y-Wing. Kara made some good mistakes in the Vader's castle, too. I knighted her Lady Kara with the mistake tool. There's fun stuff there, and I miss some of that stuff, and yeah, I really think it...
Hopefully this doesn't come across as us tooting our own horns.
We
want to
put
stuff out that we enjoy. Like, we don't make stuff because we think that it's going to go viral or whatever. We just make stuff that we think is fun that people will relate to.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to just make, like, fun, clean, and then and wholesome as we can be content, or, you know, or at least clean, so, we have a wide audience is all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so like when the cameras are off, you should hear Kara swear like a sailor. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
She's just over here. Like, it's unsafe for human consumption at any level.
I told Kara.
Swear the least of this group.
The only time I've heard Kara swear in the near future was on May 4th, not being able to buy Star Wars merch on May 4th.
Oh, my goodness.
So
anyway, well, speaking of Kara swearing.
Are you trying to throw to the outro?
I'm throwing the outro. I'm doing it.
All right. Well, thank you guys for watching. We had a really awesome week, and it was all because of you guys. Like, we really appreciate, like, when you interact with us, when you, like, comment stuff that you want to see, when you like our videos, all that stuff. It just shows that we're building something that people do actually want to see. And, like, you know, it makes us feel good. It gives us a direction to go. So like this video if you made it this far into it. If you want to see more content like this, I promise we'll be back in real life as soon as it becomes safe for us to be together in person. Comment down below with any type of DIY stuff. Kara's been doing more things like that, 3D print things, other topics you want to see us cover, anything like that. Subscribe if you're not already. Ring the notification bell so you're notified every time we upload a video. That's one of the biggest things that we've noticed is most of our views come from people who are subscribed and ring the notification bell so they know when our stuff comes out. And thank you guys so much for watching. And of course,
may the force be with you.